How you doing, fellow Christians? God bless you. Jesus Christ is Lord. And today is the day of salvation. It's the only day you have. Yesterday is gone. And the next minute isn't guaranteed. Never mind the next day. Little report. A couple weeks ago, I talked about a buddy. Not really a buddy, but a guy that I knew from, literally 45 years ago. Went to school with him. All of a sudden, he just started calling me up drunk. He called me up about 10 times in a row over the course of a couple weekends. 10 times in a row drunk. And he just hated Jesus. And I come to the point, I'm just talking to you about Jesus. Because I knew I was dealing with a spirit. And the more I would mention Jesus, the more he'd get hot. And I loved it. I wasn't being arrogant about it. I just knew what I was going against in my heart. And what I used to get frustrated over years ago, I kind of enjoy now. The warfare is jump right in. You know, jump in. You like to be competitive? God's put it in my heart. I like it. So I've changed my views on frustration. But anyway, he sent me a text just 2 days ago. I didn't say it was a Christian, but he says, I'm taking your word for it. I'm going to stop drinking. All right. Wow. Out of nowhere. And I just sent him, good job. You won't regret it. So anyway, little feedback on that individual. So never give up. Don't ever slam the door on anybody. I mean, you might have to, for the sake of your family, on occasions, you might have to totally separate. You have to totally dust the feet off. But a lot of times, if it's one-on-one, and nobody else is getting swerved or messed with, hang in there, maybe a little bit extra. Don't give up. Another individual I was dealing with, this guy's also from 40 years ago, and I was helping him out. I was helping him out with cash. I was helping out with all this stuff. And rubber meets the road with a Christian. Sooner or later, we become crazies. Sooner or later, you have to make your stand, whether it be on abortion, whether it be on sodomite activity, whether it be on just plain Christianity versus other religions, you're going to have to make your stand. And a lot of times liberals that think with the carnal mind, and which we know is an enemy of God, which is foolishness, which dies in the grave and actually makes no sense. I've come to that conclusion. All this education, I'm with Paul. He says, basically Paul said he was the most educated guy, gave it all up. Basically, called it dung. He called it, it's all dung, just for the knowledge of Christ. This is Paul, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, which is actually talked about in Jewish history, not just the Bible. So that's how awesome this teacher was that Paul was teaching. And he considered all that knowledge dung for the knowledge of Christ. And history tells us in Rome, it cost him his head. So he just packed up and left. No word being said. You could cut it with a knife. You could cut that spirit with a knife when we were the last few times we were together. But I'm not backing down. I'm a fool for the sake of Christ. I'm peculiar for the sake of Christ. It's a narrow gate. If you are going to be going that way for the sake of Christ, I was redeemed by the blood of Christ, and there's no way I'm turning back because I'm already. Once you've made the cross into the reborn world, they'll be coming back 7 times worse, and the last state of the man is worse than when he begun. And it's, according to Peter, it's better to never even heard the word of God than to hear it and turn back. Am I a sinner? Yes. Yes, I am a sinner. I am not perfect as long as I'm in this body. I fall, I get up. I fall, I get up. I fall, I get up. And I strongly advise that you become the same way. Otherwise, self-pity could sneak in and woe is me. And no, I'm a sinner saved by grace. All right, and that takes away all arrogance. That takes away all pride. And it's replaced by humbling myself and forgiving people that don't deserve it, because I was forgiven who does not deserve it. I was saved who does not deserve it. I woke up brand new, who does not deserve it. And I'd be a liar if I said any different. And sometimes I have to go back to my first love, meaning my first situation, just like Paul had to on a number of occasions, or at least two. I think it was two. He gave his testimony in front of kings as to what happened to him the day he was saved. So on occasion, we might have to go back to that time that we were saved, when we took that leap into a different world, when we actually went into the spiritual world, because that's what happens. You cannot be a reborn Christian and continue to live the way you used to live. I can't see it, because you're brand new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So if you find yourself falling away because Satan wants to sink his teeth into you, because we're warned, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. This is our enemy. Kill. He wants to kill you. He wants to kill you. And some people say everything's God's will. I totally disagree with that, because it's not his will that many should perish, but most are perishing. It was his will to give you a will, because we were made in his image. It was his will to give you a will. Now, what are you going to do with it? That's what denying yourself is all about, choosing God's will over your will. That's what putting yourself on the spiritual cross is all about, not going with your will, but God's will. Now, what happens when you fall into temptation? In the Lord's Prayer, we're asking the Lord, don't let us do that. You go the opposite direction. You go into the wrong will. So I do believe God's sovereign. I believe he's so sovereign he gave you a will. That's how I take it. You're not a robot. If anything, you're more of a robot before you're reborn. Because a blind man, deaf man, dead man, I don't know what kind of chance he has. So if you want to get a religious argument, talk about free will prior to getting reborn. But once your eyes are open and you're given this eternal life in your soul and you know what's going on, everything changes. Everything changes. Read a couple verses about the end times, meaning now. And I don't care how good the times are. I don't care how bad the times are. I don't care what's going on. Temptations come in every degree. A temptation might be a temptation that doesn't lead you to blood. It might be you just have to die to your pride. You die to your arrogance. Die to your positioning in life. You might have to die to it. You have to, sometimes to bow down to truth means you have to give up your platform. So be it. In other times, it might be literally, we're going to kill you and kill your whole family if you don't choose this other God. All right. It might be that. That's the blood. We aren't there yet. It might be right around the corner. I mean, look at England. Western civilization is getting destroyed. What is Western civilization? All right, yes, it is white, because the Europeans were white. Whoop-dee-doo. That's the color of their skin. Mainly, they're Christians. Western civilization is Christian. I looked it up on Wikipedia. It said Christian, democratic, and rational. Imagine that, rational, that they use that word. Common sense. Western civilization, based on the Bible. What did the Bible say? Number one, take care of your family. You're worse than an infidel if you don't take care of your family. That's how I view Western civilization. Take care of the family unit. That means stick together. Stick together for the sake of you and your kids, all right? And preach the word of God to your children, mainly by how you act. And make a separation between foreign religions, foreign behaviors, foreign identities. Make the cut. We don't believe like that. We believe we needed a redeemer. Our religion believes we needed a savior. Our religion means we aren't better than anybody else. We needed something miraculous to sacrifice itself for our sins. And that self was the man God, Jesus Christ. Became a man because he became flesh. Was God because he was God's word who became flesh. And number two, guess what? You see all this work that took place? What's the Bible say? The Christian word of God? You don't work, you don't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. And how did they destroy? How did the people come in? Satan come in and destroy? Welfare. Everything's free. Free, free, free. So now the more I sin, the more free I get. According to God's word, you don't work, you don't eat. Now granted, we're all living like kings. We're all living in castles. We could go and eat anything we want. Maybe it wasn't even made to be like this. Maybe this is a giant hook. But nonetheless, you don't work, you don't eat. And then Paul, giving us the example, he says he actually worked night and day just so the word of God wouldn't be spoken evil of by the Thessalonian church. So these are work ethics that came from Western civilization that I find it hilarious that every culture, absolutely every culture in the world has come over to this country, right? Has come over to this country to jump on board of Western civilization. Yet the evil spirits behind it are trying to destroy it. Right now we have a Muslim, a 33-year-old Muslim, darn near close to becoming the mayor of New York City. A Muslim. That means an authority is going to be over that city, not of Jesus, if the masses vote him up, vote him in. We got a Muslim from Ethiopia. My goodness, what could be farther from Western Somalia, from Western civilization, what's going on? Ready to become a mayor of Minneapolis. These are invasions, gang. And I don't fully understand it. I'm not God. I know you cannot have sin without a consequence. So there has to be on the table of reasoning. Are we suffering a consequence? I'd say it's a good chance. I'd say it's a darn good chance that we're suffering a consequence of our sin. The sin of absolute materialism. You know, me, 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 more, more, more. One more buck, one more buck. What's in it for me? We stopped having kids. Western civilized people that look like this stopped having kids. I even joke. Every now and then I would go to Republican meetings. I said, you people, you know, because I base it on the word of God. Don't you realize you have to have babies in a democratic society? All right, wake up. You know, if one person's one vote, you got to make people. But no, materialism snuck in. Educate your women so you take away their best, quote unquote, childbearing years. Then the evildoers sneak homosexuality in there so you don't have kids. Destroy a generation like that by not having children. And the other evildoers, because of unbelief, it just comes natural. The word evil doesn't even mean you have to do anything. Evil's a heading of unbelief. But I also realized before I had my experience, even in the Christian realm, I don't care if you're Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian, Catholic, I don't care what you call yourself, unless your eyes are open to the spiritual realm, unless your eyes are open to the demonic realm, because that's what we're fighting against, principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. And there's, you know, from what I've heard, the Baptists don't even want to talk about the devil. How can you not talk about an enemy? How can you go into a football game without talking about the game plan of the enemy? Jesus Christ warned us about all this. He would go into synagogues, the demons would yell out. He would go into cities, he would cast out all the demons. He saw a crazy man cutting himself, which what we see now, naked, pornography, which what we see now, chained, all right, by addiction or whatever it might have been, and the Lord threw minimal 2,000 devils out of that. Paul, we're taught, we don't fight flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. We're told to take every thought captive, the obedience of Jesus. How can you have a Christian, quote-unquote, religion and not put emphasis on who the enemy is? We were thrown out of the garden because of the enemy. This isn't our land. The God, Satan of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. We are in enemy territory. That's why we have to walk circumspectly, it tells us in Galatians, so we can see everything around us. That's why we're warned about the flaming missiles of the enemy. That's what we're told about putting on the armor, putting on the helmet, having our feet shod with the gospel, above all the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to fight. We're in a battle for you, for me, our families, our grandchildren, our next door neighbors. Satan wants to kill everybody. And we're dropping like flies. We're dropping like flies. Please don't bow to the government next time if they tell you to do something. You bow to Jesus. If he puts something in your heart, don't be swayed to give in. I hope you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, God does manifest things. I mean, the Muslims would have taken over all of Europe if it wasn't for Richard the Lionheart. All of Europe tried to totally stomp out Christianity. But thank the Lord raised an army to defend it. And now you better stand up for your Christianity, Christian. You better say, yes, I'm a Christian. And yes, there is only one way to the Almighty. And yes, he is God. And yes, his name is above all names. And his name is Jesus Christ. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And there's nobody else to share it with. And it is inclusive of one. He told us he is the only way to the Father, but through him. He didn't give us other options. He didn't say good works or other good people. No. Matter of fact, he told us this place isn't worth saving. It can't be saved. It's condemned. I came to give you eternal life because everything on this planet dies. Everything. From a one-cell amoeba to a gigantic whale or elephant ends up dead on the bottom of the ocean or in the bottom of your feet. But Jesus came with eternal life forever. Eye has not seen nor ear heard the wonderful things he has waiting for us. So if you're in sin, turn from it. As Paul said, he's shaking. Paul said, I'm shaking in my boots with my salvation. Yes, he did. He didn't say, oh, I'm singing a song and everything's fine. No, this is a narrow gate. We got a huge enemy. But the price that was paid, the blood at the cross, overcomes all of it. And get over it. If you've been raped, if you've lost a child, If you were abused as a kid, if you get over it. I'm saying get over it. And it's not going to be easy. These words like trauma, they're all over the place. Oh, I got trauma over everything. I get it. I think Jesus had a little bit of trauma too. I think the apostles had a little bit of trauma too. Get over it. And you know why I'm saying that word, get over it? Because I know it sounds arrogant. Because the book of Revelation says it all over the place. It doesn't say get over it. It says overcome. You've been abused as a child? Use God's word. Overcome it. Take every thought captive. Cast it away. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. You had lousy parents? Get over it. Don't make a God out of your past. You have a Savior who suffered and died on the cross for you. When your siblings stab you in the back, a parent stab you in the back, an employee stab you in the back, get over it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look what Judas did to him. Look what Peter even did to him. As he was healing people, raising people from the dead. It's hopeless, gang, to attain anything perpetually good on this planet. Get over your griefs, get over your sorrows, get over all of it. It means overcome it. Otherwise, Satan is so sly. Maybe your childhood was horrible. Maybe you've lost a child and it was a horrible situation. The thing is, if you don't get over it, it will become a god. It will haunt you. It will not leave you because there's a demon behind it. Because those people that caused you trauma, they're going to die. That child.